going to read something about that today, but it just made me think about it. And I want to be a reminder of those things. And so this is my opportunity to share it with you guys. And I think it applies to all of us. You already saw my last slide of the two sheep, but we'll get there. So in Psalms 115, I love what it says here, and I'm not trying to interpret anything now about that what it says in this chapter. You know, the idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And so the argument that they put up up there is, why don't you believe in saints? You know, they were men, that people that did good things. I'm not putting an argument against that. No, they did. You know, that's a good thing. But I'm not going to put my trust on them. And that's the whole argument that people put up there with you. If you run into anything, anybody who is a hardcore Catholic worship or Catholic believer. And so they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat, they had make. They that had make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trust in them. And so when these people, you know, they're trying to convince me to go back, because even one of the applications on my phone, I forgot the name of it, but it's all full of messages that these people send me that has to do with Catholic Church, trying to prove that I'm wrong what I believe, and trying to prove that I'm believing in something that is not. It's fake. It's not real. They also worship Mary, you know. But when I come to this myself and I know what it says here, I don't think that's gonna happen. But the war is up there. You know, it's not just what I say. We have a war. We are fighting every day, and it's not physical, but it's a spiritual war that we have, and it makes sense. You know, you don't run into the demonic something out there for sure, but you run into person, to even your own friends, whatever. They just don't agree with you. But, you know, knowing what I know, and the little bit that I know, it helps me. It helps me to stand firm in my faith. And so it made me thought about that. And so I'm here just to share it with you. Idols were not made by God. You know, God know the things that we need. The people that are... It was a long time in the Catholic Church you were prohibited from reading the Bible. And so, or either that or it was in Latin that you can't understand what it said. So, you know, you would just believe what they say. So that's even now, you know. I don't think that I have seen many people, Catholics, going to church holding a Bible, having a Bible with them. They're allowed not to carry a Bible with them, but I don't know what they do when they read something like this. You know, how is it that their eyes are not open, or they just skip it, or they just pick and choose? I don't know. So one verse in the same chapter, verse 3, it says, "But our God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he pleased." He is the creator of all. In Romans 9:15, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." You know, there was one time that the Moses' sister and the brother Aaron, Miriam, I guess that's her name, as they were complaining about Moses, and God heard them. God heard everything. It proves that he is always there. He hears everything. But what God told them, you know, "You're not going to tell me what to do. I will call who I want to call, and I will do what I want to do. If I call Moses to do this and that, you can't be saying those things, because it was my decision, it was not your decision." But even now, we're still complaining, that's for sure. I'm surprised that we haven't been burned by fire coming from heaven for things that we say, or because this world is just full of those things. But I believe that even now God has a slow, he's been keeping his promise, having a slow anger to us. But also, you know, he is full of mercy and love, and Brother Gordon reminds us this morning, without love, we cannot do anything. And Moses was one of them who was always remind God, you know, his promises towards us. So, you know, I think that the very few of us that we still have faith and that God love us, and then in your prayers you ask him to forgive our sins and forgive this world's sins, and you know, and he still has his arms stretch. He hasn't put it down, or otherwise will wipe us all the way down. We see what's going on in the Middle East just now, and you ask yourself, when is this going to happen? One angel, if you remember, I think it's in the book of First Kings, where one angel wiped out so many soldiers, just one angel. Can you imagine when the time comes, the Jesus comes back again and set things right? And for what we see, what's going on, it's just a matter of time. And that's the thing that it makes me confidence in my heart. You open your phone right now. And what do you see? Short videos. They call it short videos, full of people doing all kinds of protesters up there for what's going on in this country, and it's pointless to continue watching that stuff, because it's like some type of poison your heart towards people that you're supposed to love, towards people that you should have hope that they may come to Christ. What is that scripture in Ecclesiastes, I believe? You say, if my people would know my name, if they worship me, I can't remember how it goes, I will come to them and bless this land. And we are getting so far from that. But I'm not anybody to say that's what's happened. That's what's going on. There's always time, and there's always the perfect time for God to change people's hearts. And so the hope that we have even now is just to trust in the Lord. That's all we have to do, to trust in the Lord. Whatever happens, we just have to take one day at a time. But let us not forget that God is in control. And what has amazed me is the one day we will be in front of his throne, ready to be judged. And his judgment, it won't be pretty. So we have to pray for those things that are going on right now, that God will have mercy on us. But for sure, it is only him that we should trust and worship, and not the things that have been made by hands, by men, when it comes to God, because there's only one God. There's no gods, but just one. In Matthew 19:16-24, and behold, one came and saying to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. I don't think that is a commandment, that you should go sell everything you have and that you have treasure in heaven. But so if the young man keep all the commandments that we just heard, he should be okay. But I believe that the our Lord was just testing him by saying these things. Because there is a scripture that talks up there, the treasures in earth will not take you to heaven, to eternal life. You will not inherit eternal life having treasures in earth. It says that those will be eaten away. Treasures in heaven is what is the things that we do, and the things that we will be judged with, the things we have done in life. So being rich, being wealthy, that doesn't mean that you're gonna have that you're gonna inherit eternal life. So I believe that our Lord would just keep giving him a test, see what he will answer. And since he was super rich, I am not gonna go sell what I have that I earned, so with my sweat on my forehead, and just give it away. Our Lord says that he gets joy when you give things with a happy heart. He loves those that are happy giver, and not putting rules. And it came and come and follow me, he told him. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, he is the good master. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who will be in the door, because he has no hiring. He will be the one who will say, come to the kingdom of my Father. What did he say? You good servant, you good and faithful servant. And that is our goal. That is our hope, our faith that we have, that we may be able to hear those words. So no money, no possessions will bring you to Zion. But what does it say in the Book of Mormon? That everything is good in Zion. There is no nothing wrong. There is, you know, the enemy will trick you and will do whatever he can to trick us. In Exodus 20, 3-5, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is including money. Money can be another god. Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave image. We have them all the way around. The people worship. Anything that is made with hand is an image, and people worship. And we have so many of those things. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and to the third and fourth generation of them. He is a jealous God, and there is no other God but him. And that's one of the things that is hard for people to understand. Traditionally, in you know, the Catholic Church is all hearing, not doers, and that's the one of the things. But because I when I put an argument, I throw scriptures too, and they're like, I don't know how to read the Bible, or I haven't read the Bible, I don't know where that is, and so I'm thinking in my head, and I didn't say it, but yeah. So you just put an argument for what you heard. And no, but not for what you have read or know yourself. And so, with all patience and love and calmness, I told you, you should read your Bible, and then you let me know the things, because that is what it helped me, myself. That's what it helped me, you know. Okay, I put an argument myself too when Rebecca was starting to come to church. I was putting an argument with her because I was the same. I only read like the Genesis couple chapters, and then I got so bored and just put them away. I never read the Bible. And so when she told me that she was coming to this church, and then they had the Book of Mormon, and I was so, you know my story. I was so angry. I was so angry, and I was not happy with that. But when I start reading the Bible, not through it, but here and there, and every day, and read for what I know, and heard my brothers preaching through, you know, the pulpit, and all those things, God worked in my heart and softened my heart. And soften it to the point that I have to humble myself. You know, that's, and I totally understand. When I'm not trying to convert anybody, I remember the really good words of my brother Don. You don't try to convert anybody. You put it up there. just like the Bible says, it's just like a seed. You plant the seed, but God is the one who makes it grow. So it will bother you. Whatever you heard, it's going to bother you. And if it's bothering you, it's because it's growing. It's because it's God trying to talk to you and trying to open your heart or open your eyes to the truth. It is so amazing when Christ told Pilate, Pontius, that he was the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free of being slave to sin. But you never see it because it's just normal. It's just that how it is in this world. Everything is, you know, you just go it through. You don't see there is a sin. But I know that in God's eyes, it is a sin. It is a sin, whatever it is that you are doing. But that's why I said there is always a line that you can pass that line. There's only so much you can do if you really do fear God. 2 Nephi 1:15-1:21. Adam fell, the man may be, and men are, that they may have joy. And the Messiah came in the fullness of time, that he may redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever. Knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord in that great and last day, according to the commandments which God has given. So we have this, what do you call it? We're in time of probation. Is that a word? We're in time of probation, which is, I've never been in a jail that when you do something really bad, but then they let you go, and then you had to prove that you are changing your way to act, what to do, you know, you becoming a new person or whatever. You're still on probation. You had to check in with the officers and stuff, your probation officer. But in our situation, being with the Lord, we are in the same type of deal there. We had to continually prove to the Lord that we are following His commandments, that we are doing the things that please Him. So we, like it says here, we acting up ourselves, knowing good things and evil things. So it's up to you what are the things you're going to do now that you've been free. Because when our Lord suffered the cross, we own Him. He paid. He redeemed us from that awful thing that we own Him. And so what is He asking us of us? It's just to do and to follow His commandments, that we may at the end be in His presence for a good thing. According to the commandments which God has given us, wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are experienced into men, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life to the great mediator, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, of all men, and then to choose captivity and death according to the captivity of the power of the devil. So you have two choices. That is the thing. We have two choices. We acting up for ourselves, for His sake, that all men may be merciful like unto Himself. And 1 Peter 2, 1 to 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as a newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. This is the things that they will get you in trouble. This is what it's talking about here. You know, we have a choice to act up on those things, either whether you do it or you want to do those things or not. And so that's what the enemy wants. And so it says right there, what is waiting for us up there? I prefer to be happy than being miserable. Even now, seeing what I see, I am a happy man. I am a happy man. I leave it, everything into God's hands. I leave everything to Him. And so every time I leave the house, every morning, at 5 in the morning, I always kiss my wife and say, I say, see you soon. Because you never know. You never know. But you know, even now, God has blessed us greatly. 2 Nephi 11:45-51, it says, and now, notwithstanding, we believe in Christ, and we keep the law of Moses, and look forward with steadfastness and into Christ, until the law shall be fulfilled. For this end was the law given. Wherefore the law has become dead unto us, and we are made alive unto Christ because of our faith. And yet we keep the law because of the commandments. We need that. We need those reminders. Even the Christ has paid everything, has fulfilled everything. You know, pretty much the Old Testament is behind. The New Testament is the things that we need to look forward, but we do need the commandments of God. And we talk up to this, we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach in Christ, we prophesy Christ, and we write according to our prophecies that our children may know to what sources they may look for a remission of their sins. You know, our actions, there's little ones up there looking up. They're like, at their age that they are, they're like sponges. They observe everything. So they see what you do. And so you have to be a good example to them. They will learn from you. Wherefore, we speak concerning the law, that our children may know the deadness of the law. And they, by knowing the deadness of the law, may look forward into that life which is in Christ, and know for what end the law was given. And after that the law is fulfilled in Christ, that they need not harden their hearts against Him when the law had ought to be done away. So this is what it says, is that we are the light of the world. We are examples. They see the things that we do, and not just the people, the kids, the children here, but even our work. Be a good example. I mean, I'm not saying you have to change your personality. You just got to be who you are and not pretend to be somebody else. One time, I did got a little upset at my work, and this guy who knows me for a long time, he's like, it's like the first time, I never see you mad. But it happens, and like I said, dealing with customer service, it's just that I just got to keep myself and told myself that I had to be the best I can, and that I may be a good example to others and be a blessing to someone, whatever day, that day, whatever day. So it's just these precious words that we read and hear, it remind us to be a good person and a good Christian. In Genesis 2:8-9, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also he made, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God planted this beautiful garden and this earth, and that was his first creation, and then he put man in it. Our brother Aaron speak a little bit about this, and actually in my sermon before that, I speak of this too also. But you know, to me, it's that what is our purpose being in this world? This garden, it hasn't been found, and people may think that they know what it is. But this garden, the man, Adam, was there, and he had no need or anything. He had everything. And, you know, and when it says that there were rivers coming out from the garden, it reminds me that in Revelation says that, that when you receive the Holy Ghost in you, it's like rivers. Our spirit coming out, overflowing from your heart. It makes me think about it. Is this what we're looking for? Is this what we are trying to find? Where everything is, there's no need on anything. Where everything is happiness. Where everything is, you have everything and God provided for you. Is this what it means that it's just like having and looking forward to be with Christ Jesus and his kingdom? Is this kingdom is the garden that we are, that's what we are hoped for? I don't know, but it was just make me wondering. Man was in the garden and he had no need of anything. But of course, sin is always. It's always in the door. In John 7:38, he that believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his valley shall flow rivers and of living water. Where rivers, waters will flow, rivers of living water. It's just like, so I said Revelation, but it's in John. Actually, and so this is the own words of Christ coming, the who, whoever believes, this is what it will be like. So it's just like the Middle East right now is so dry, so sandy. But if you have faith, just like Brother Gordon says, I never see a mountain move or, you know, walk to the ocean and sink in the ocean. I don't think that, you know, you will see such a thing, but speaking of your own person, this is who we are because we are his temple. We are Christ's temple. And so I think that there are all this, they're like, it says that if we believe in the scripture, rivers are living water will be flowing of you. That is, to me, that is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And everything will green up again. You know, I love the time when our deserts, even now that they look like, to me, they look like chocolate chip cookies, mountains, they get greener in April. I love to see those beautiful flowers in the cactus having those beautiful flowers blooming everywhere. It is so beautiful, you know. And even the those plants like the ocotillo looks so dead through summer, but in April it gets nice and green and with those beautiful flowers. It's like how we are. Even in something so bad, ugly looking, there's still life. And so Christ is not taking a long time to come back. He just wants that none of us will be lost. He wants us to all be saved. So even those people, even now, they're doing what they're doing, they still have a hope. They still have a hope. And everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. We all like a desert and dry sand. But when you put water down and it gets green again. I have the most ugly backyard in my house that I've been working on. We put a small garden in the backyard, and I'm surprised all these fruits. I thought that my ugly looking yard would never produce something so good and juicy and beautiful and tasty. I'm just so surprised of that. And I have this small garden. Well, actually, okay, so I'm not want to take all the credit, but my grandchildren planted in Rebecca, so I just watered it myself. And it has become a really nice garden. All these cucumbers and tomatoes and green chilies coming out of something that I never thought that would be, you know, not good for growing. It's doing a really good. I consider ourselves just like that. You know, as long as God showers us with blessings and with his beautiful words that we hear every day, we will green up, you know, our heart. From growing heart, from seeing all these things on Facebook and all those, you know, those medium sites, it can make your heart grow hard. But if we focus on God and Christ Jesus, we will be like my garden. We will give up fruit. We will green up and be something beautiful, as it was before sin came into us. And so that beautiful garden that God has created from the beginning, that's probably what we're looking for, and that's how we want to be. That's how God wants us to see us producing really good fruit, especially now that it's needed. And that's my sermon for today. I hope and pray that you guys got something of this, and no matter what happened to us, and no matter what happened around us, our eyes are on Christ, our God. And because he is our hope, and wherever the people trying to put a fight up there, don't let them bring you down or have doubts. I have a few friends that are Christians, and they're like, I'm starting to have doubts on what I believe. I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't go there. I know it's hard times that we are living right now, but don't never think that God is not true. Stay strong and pray, because we're not here eternally. We're going to see God, and we're going to be in his presence sooner or later. And so there's people up there, they start walking away from their beliefs. And so it's now when we have to pray and remember this word and what is going through. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jose. Let's Turn to 249 for our closing song. 249. Remember